I did say Acts chapter 2. You know, it's amazing that it's the first Sunday. It seems like every time we turn around, it's the first Sunday. And here we are. Wow, December. I've been saying it all year. Happy New Year. And here we go. We're approaching a new year again. So as we're preparing for communion, I want to do it just a little bit differently, use some different scriptures. And I really want us to think about communion and what it means. It is one of the sacraments that we take, and it's one of the commands that God has given us. But it's really important that we understand why we take communion. Christ said, "Do this in remembrance of me." But what did Christ actually do? He resurrected on that third day. Otherwise, communion means absolutely nothing. We're just eating a cracker and drinking some juice. But he resurrected. And when you do the research, and I'm always talking about the research, when you do the research, the doctrine of the resurrection was starting to be written down 2 years after the resurrection, which shows that it's not a hoax or a legend or a myth. Those come hundreds of years later when they start making up these grandiose stories. But 2 years after, Mark's gospel of the resurrection, the empty tomb, was documented about 2 years after the resurrection. So if anybody wanted to talk to those who were witnesses of the resurrection, they could, to find out if it was the truth or not. And the theme of the first church, family, hear me, the first church, the central theme was the resurrection. That's all Peter and James and John, that's all they talked about when the church first started. Now we have all types of doctrines about a lot of things, but without the resurrection, it means nothing. So here we go. Take a look at Acts 2 and 22. And Sister Natalie, we're going to be, I don't know what we're going to be doing. All right. All over the place. They've just been filled with the Holy Ghost, and we pick up the story at 2:22. Here's Peter. And Peter says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." It's not a mystery. We're not trying to hide this thing. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." Somebody say amen. Don't let that slip by. It wasn't just by men, but God had already set this plan in order. "You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Verse 24. Make a note of verse 24. "Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should hold him or shake him." All right. Now look at verses 31, same chapter, 31 and 33. "He seeing this before spake of the resurrection." He's talking about David, speaking of the resurrection of Christ, "that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost," somebody underline Holy Spirit, "and hath shed forth this which you now see and hear." Now let's go to verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift." Somebody underline gift and underline the Holy Ghost. "For this promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off." Somebody say amen, because that's us. even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this wicked generation, this perverse generation. Somebody say amen. Save yourself. Rescue yourself through Jesus Christ from this crazy world. Somebody say amen. Verse 41, then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people gave their life to Christ based on the power of the resurrection, the preaching, the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then look at chapter 3. 3 and 13, same book, Acts. The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, or to release the murderer. Verse 15, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong. You're talking about the lame man they had healed, whom you see and know. Yeah, the faith which is by him hath given him the perfect soundness in all. Perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Look at chapter 4. And verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, somebody underline that, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man or the powerless man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you. Somebody's getting the theme of the first church. Amen. It was built on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, we have nothing, family. Look at verse 5. I'll stop right here and then we'll go ahead and take communion. But understand what we're doing. It's not a hoax. It's not a joke. It was even this theory called the swoon theory, that Christ didn't really die. He was on that cross and he kind of just passed out. They call that the swoon theory. And then when he was in the tomb, he got himself up and was able to move that big 2,000 pound stone. And trust me, when you go to Israel and you see those tombs, you see that it's not something that you're going to do by yourself. And Reverend, when I had the opportunity to go to Israel with Dr. West, and it's about 68 of us, and they took us to Herod's tomb so you could see it, because Christ's tomb is empty. So the stone was rolled away at Christ's tomb. But Herod's tomb, so you could see what the tomb was really, what it was made of and how it looked. And so they're trying to say the swoon theory, that he, some kind of way, after he was beaten and whipped and the sword was thrust in his side and bleeding, that he got up and moved the stone. And then he convinced the disciples, hey, look, go tell everybody. You see, I'm resurrected and alive. They're like, no, I don't think so. That's the swoon theory. And it be it known, too, that the Roman guards, that if anybody came down from that cross, any of their victims come down from that cross, and they're not dead, guess who gets killed? The guards. So they made sure you were dead. Good and dead. And then think about it. After he was resurrected, started a worldwide movement 2015 years ago, still going strong. And remember, only one of the apostles died a natural death. The other ones were killed because they wouldn't stop talking like this. The resurrection, whom you slew on a tree, God raised up. And we're witnesses of that. They wouldn't stop talking about it. Okay, verse, did I say chapter 5, 28. They said, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? Sounds like what they're trying to tell us today. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Family, that's why you have to know what you believe. You have to know that this is real, because people are going to tell you, don't say Jesus. You can't say that. I'm offended. Oh, well, we have the First Amendment, freedom of speech. I'm going to say the name of Jesus, and I'm going to say it loud and clear, because it's power in the name of Jesus. Remember, we've been talking about light and dark. Remember, most people used to be afraid of the dark, but now they're afraid of the light because it exposes them. That's why they don't want to hear the name Jesus. That's why these guys, because it exposed their deeds, that they actually killed him. That's why I stopped saying that. You're exposing what we did. Didn't we tell you to stop exposing us? That's all what people tell you when they don't want to hear Jesus. I don't discuss politics and I don't discuss religion. Well, let's discuss life and let's discuss death. Let's discuss a relationship with God. Verse 28 saying, did we not straitly command that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Although they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. They said that. You can check it in, I believe it's Matthew 23 and 35. Verse 29. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Yes. Verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. They're not going to stop talking about it, family. They are not. Verse 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. So is also, underline this, the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Brothers, go ahead and pass out the sacraments. And then let's go to the familiar scripture in 1 Corinthians. Thank you, brother. 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians 11 and 23. And family, remember that it's always the attack on the name of Jesus. When you're talking with your family, your friends, don't get into an argument. Just ask them to do the research on the gospel. Do the research on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do the research on the life of Jesus Christ. Don't argue about anything. Just say, research Jesus Christ. Tell them that, as just like we always share, you get into a lot of other things. Get into the life of Jesus Christ. Investigate the resurrection. Investigate Jesus Christ. Remember, religion isn't valid based on its followers. I don't care who's following it. Who's the founder? Who founded it? What was it established on? Here it is. It's established on the resurrection and their witnesses, and they would not let them forget it. And they start documenting it 2 years after. So those who were around could not deny it. And that's where I believe it's 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul is talking that some are still alive. You can go ask them yourself. He was seen 40 days by over 500 brethren at once, and they're still alive. Go ask them for yourself. And then we get to the familiar words spoken by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Apostle Paul. That's 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Somebody say amen, because he took bread. In verse 24, it said, and he gave thanks. Teaching a lesson right there that you can be betrayed and still give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for exposing that they really didn't have my back. Thank you for exposing that they really weren't with me, Lord. Thank you that you exposed it now and not down the line. Thank you for making it plain right away. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he said, break it. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Remember, this is our perspective. Jesus Christ resurrected. And He said, do this in remembrance of me. Elevate that which represents his body. He said, do this in remembrance of me, because he knew that there would be Ferguson and New York. There'd be pink slips. There'd be kids. There'd be grandkids. Jobs and businesses and church and people. And he said, do this when your life seems to be falling apart. Do this. Remember that I died for you. Remember that I paid a price. Remember that I'm coming back. Remember that the stuff you see is pretty much a mirage and is not the reality. But the reality is what we do for Christ will last. And the reality is that he's coming back for us. Don't get caught up in the mirage. Do this as often as you can. When you feel your life falling apart, slipping away, you're losing hope, do this in remembrance of me. I'm still with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm still with you. Thank you, Lord, for not letting us forget. Thank you for putting our lives in perspective every time we come to church. Thank you, Lord. You knew there'd be births and deaths and marriages and divorce. He knew it. Do this in remembrance of me. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had drank, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And we know that in the Old Testament, they had to do the sin offering and the peace offering and the trespass offering. They had to do five different offerings. And then Christ was offered up once and for all. Yes. He covered it all. Jesus. Covered our sins, past, present, and future. Don't let your past haunt you. Embrace your future in Christ. That's why I said, do this and remember, keep it in perspective. It's covered by the blood. Thank you, Lord, for dying for our sins. That certain things just pass us over, danger seen and unseen, because the blood covers us. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. And if you would, just bow your head for just a quick word of corporate prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you're just so awesome. Words can't even express how thankful we are, Lord. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations, the midst of the broken hearts that we feel because of when a loved one has passed and gone home to be with the Lord. And God, even in the midst of that, we declare that you're awesome. We declare that you're great and greatly to be praised. So Lord, as we reflect on your awesomeness in the midst of many different situations and circumstances, Lord, we declare and decree that we love you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that we can come and put our life in perspective, Lord. So much happens, Lord, from Sunday to Sunday. We had two deaths within the church from Sunday to Sunday, Lord. So much. And that's just the ones we know about and the situations we know about and not the things that haven't been expressed. But God, so much happens from Sunday to Sunday. God, we don't just want to come to church. We need to come to church. We need the fellowship. We need to feel your arms around us through another member who we know loves us and cares about us and has our back. Thank you for the comfort and the peace and joy that you've brought in this house, Lord, in the midst of life and death. Thank you, Lord, for this body of believers. Thank you that we have a place to worship freely. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers of the saints. that availeth much. So we just wanted to spend a few minutes just to say thank you, Lord. And we love you. We bless you. Keep us, Lord. Cover us, our kids, our grandkids, our spouses, our loved ones, our families. Lord, we're praying for salvation for our family and friends that don't know you. Because we know that this world is passing away and only what's done for Christ will last. Praying for a spirit of revival, renewal, refreshing. Touch hearts, Lord. Heal, deliver, set free. Those family members we've been praying for years, Lord. Send laborers into their life, Lord. Soften that heart, Lord. Let the gospel, the love of the gospel penetrate their heart. Love them unto yourself, Lord. Praying for those family members, praying for those friends, those co-workers, praying for our kids, Lord, who might be out there somewhere, Lord, and testing what the world has to offer. We're praying that you bring them back, Lord. It's easy to talk about it when it's somebody else's, but when it's your kid, Lord, we're praying now. It's my kid that's in the need of prayer, Lord. Now it's my son, it's my daughter, Lord, and bring them back, Lord. Send those laborers, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, don't let them die separated from you. Don't let the enemy kill, steal, and destroy them, Lord. Praying that they would be sober, they'd be diligent, Lord. Praying that the gospel would arrest them, Lord. Arrest them with your love. Let them see through the deception, the seduction of the world. Praying for our kids, our grandkids, our family members, our spouses. Thank you, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit to work. Work in their lives now. Send that laborer who they can't turn a deaf ear to, where they'd have to sit and listen. Send that laborer that they don't know, but that would say the same things that we would say, Lord. And they would know that you're real. Pierce that heart. Oh, we love you, Lord. We're praying for salvation and rededication today. We know that life is real. We know the resurrection is real. Praying for those who's been deceived, Lord, that they could see the truth. We thank you, Lord, and pray for ourselves, Lord. Pray for wisdom, guidance, discernment, insight, direction, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, that we give them all to you. We trust you with them, Lord. We trust you with their life. Let us lean on you like never before. We're not waiting to the new year to get it together, Lord. We want to start today. Praying for ourselves, Lord, that we would serve you like never before. We would surrender and submit to you like never before. As a corporate body, Lord, that we as a church would agree to make disciples and build the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. That we would understand our mission. We know what our purpose is, Lord. Show us our method. We know the purpose is to make disciples. Go ye therefore and teach and make disciples. Now show us our method. How do you want us to do it, Lord? We're open to you, Lord. You show us what to do. You're the head, we're the body. So we thank you, Lord, for this just few minutes of prayer, Lord. We love your presence. We love sweet Holy Spirit that's in this place, that's moving about, reminding us all, reminding certain ones who they are in God, that you could be doing so much better. You know you got to get reconnected to God. Surrender that. Submit to this. Obey God. Holy Spirit, teach us right now. We love you. We thank you. We bless you, Lord. We recognize there is none like you. We thank you that you're mighty to save, that you rose from the grave. What a blessed day it is to be in the house of the Lord, in the land of the living, with the saints of God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to do this real fast. We're going to greet each other. We're going to take 1 minute, greet each other. We have to especially greet our guest. You haven't seen somebody in a week, give them a quick hug and a kiss and tell them good morning. And then we're going to get right back into the word. Okay, stand to your feet. Greet our guests. Greet each other. Mm-hmm.